Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
All right, Andy, I love having this guy on. He's just so smart. He's tied into everything, and he's constantly monitoring all these college players. And we're lucky enough to be joined by Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim, how you doing? You're on with Andy Hart, and obviously you know who I am. How you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good, fellas. Good to be back on.
So I guess quick question before we get started, because obviously the Patriots drafted eight guys. I think they had 10 undrafted guys also. You had four of these guys at the Senior Bowl with you, so you were able to monitor them, check them out, evaluate them as much as anybody. Overall, like, any big surprises from the draft? Anything surprise you stand out to you during the draft?
I mean, there were some players that, you know, always surprise you a little bit here and there, then go a little higher or lower, but like, no major shocks. I think teams are doing a better job of I guess there seems like more consensus. There's only a couple teams in my mind that feel like go rogue a little bit on draft weekend, but there wasn't anything major really. I know everyone's been talking about the Michael Penix thing, but that wasn't a huge shocker to me. I know that they'd loaded up the owner's plane, Mr. Blank's plane, and went to Washington, and teams don't usually do that unless they're really serious about a guy.
Jim, before we get to the guys you had in your game, I know you keep track of all these guys. You know who Drake May is, what his skills are. And you and I have talked about this before. In an ideal world, rookie quarterbacks would probably redshirt and sit, but we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a real world. Is Drake May capable of playing early on this fall? Because there seems to be this idea that, oh, he needs to sit for at least a year or you might break him.
He's capable of it, but is it best case scenario? No. I mean, I was texting with Drake's quarterbacks coach after the draft, and I said he's going to a great spot. I mean, I've known Jacoby. I scouted Jacoby when he came out. There's no better mentor to be going in the league under than Jacoby Brissett. It's not my team. They're going to do whatever they want to do, but I think a great plan would be to let Jacoby start the season, and then if things go awry and it's kind of a lost year, well, then get Drake on the field late, get him some game reps going into year two, and then roll him out there next year. I think that's best case scenario. Unfortunately, as a league, we don't do that anymore. You know, in the two recent cases where we've done it, in Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love, it looks like it's going to work out really well for it's already worked out well for Mahomes. It looks like, you know, Jordan Love's going to be a superstar as well. So, to me, that would be the plan. But yeah, is he physically capable? Yeah. And the thing I love about Drake is that I don't think outside pressure, expectations, like a New York or a Boston market is going to get to this kid. And I only say that. It was a small takeaway. I golfed with him after the Senior Bowl. He was training down here for the draft with the same guy that Bo Nix was training with. And I think you guys might agree. You can tell a lot from a guy on a golf course over 18 holes. We kind of show who we are. And Drake's just got a really cool demeanor about him where, like, stuff doesn't really affect him. So had the Giants or Jets drafted him, like, I think he could have handled that market. So I wouldn't, like, protect Drake. I don't think Drake needs to be protected. I just think it's better for all these guys if they can sit a little bit and learn.
So just real quick, I know I want to get into these players that you had at the Senior Bowl, but when you see these guys who've been doing this for a while, even before you were the executive director of the Senior Bowl, you were a scout in the NFL. Have you noticed any traits that would lead you to believe that, or like an indicator that one guy is more prepared than another guy to start right away? Or is it just like you're not going to know until the third week in camp?
I guess if I had to answer that, I would say I like to dig into like their situational football, how they play in like certain third down situations, red zone situations when things are sped up. You can tell when a guy's ready, but I think it usually correlates to the number of starts they have in college. You know, you look at some of the guys that haven't panned out recently. They've been taken based off their physical traits more than the experience in the football they played. I just think quarterbacks played so much from the neck up. I think during the pre-draft process, we just get enamored with some of the physical stuff. I think we've all seen that. I mean, just shoot. I mean, look at Tom. I mean, Tom had good physical tools, but he was, you know, incredible from the neck up, and that's why he was Tom. But yeah, I would say that if you're looking at it, just game experience, situational football, those are probably the best indicators. And then just the overall maturity of the kid. And you know, does he come across like a grown up, or does he come across like a kid that's, you know, typical kid that's just leaving college and has to grow up a little bit. So
using that as a leaping off point, I think one of the more interesting prospects the Patriots drafted was wide receiver Javon Baker, Alabama level talent, great year last year at UCF. Anyone who saw his introductory press conference, he certainly has a lot of energy and is a quote machine. Is this a guy that has growing up to do? Is this a boom or bust prospect? Because it seems like there's sort of a volatile nature to his scouting report.
No, I don't think it's boom or bust. I'll just take you in behind the scenes a little bit on scouting Javon for us. I was at an Auburn, Georgia game, kind of like early, middle of the year. And we've got a scout that does that part of the country, does a great job. But I was in the press box, and that's one of the values of us going to games every Saturday as a staff, is that we run into buddies we worked with in the league. And so I was just asking him, I'm like, you know, I've seen Florida, I've seen Miami, I've seen Florida State. Like, do any of those smaller schools in Florida have any guys? You know, FAU, FIU, USF, UCF, and like three of the guys sitting around me, they all brought up Baker. And the thing was, their question was, can he run? You know, they thought he may be like a 4.6 guy. Well, he doesn't play like that on tape. That's what I told him. I'm like, I don't know where you guys are getting that. I don't know if like the strength coach is telling you he might be speed deficient, but I certainly don't see that on the tape. The thing I love about Javon is he can get open, which, you know, the Patriots haven't been drafting receivers lately that can get open. He can uncover, and he's got phenomenal ball skills. So he's, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to go on day two. He goes on day early day three, and I thought that was really good value where they got him.
Is a comp for him Jacoby Myers? That's been the comp, I feel like. Whenever somebody says this guy's not very fast, and again, we're talking to Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. When somebody says he's not very fast, but he can get open, I think of Jacoby Myers. Like, real clever, understands voids, leverage, you know, knows the whole nonverbal cue at the top of the route. Is that something? Is that an adequate comp?
I see it a little differently. We had Jacoby too. I thought he was going to be a fourth round pick that year. Shocked me he went undrafted. Obviously, I think he's probably the best receiver the Patriots have acquired on a draft weekend in a long time. I was surprised they let him walk. But yeah, Jacoby was a crafty guy. He was longer than Baker, longer bodied guy, super crafty, setting stuff up. And then his ball skills were that's maybe the comparison. And Jacoby's were unreal because he was a former quarterback, and his ability to make contested plays like in traffic, you don't find that with many like natural receivers, let alone guys that had to switch positions. But to me, this guy's gets open a little more with like quickness at the top of a route, whereas Jacoby, I think, was just more of the savvy guy, knowing how to stem guys and set guys up. To me, that would be the difference. But the ball skills are certainly similar.
So when I say Joe Milton, what do you respond with? Because he looks physically like one of the more gifted athletes probably you could find anywhere at any position on the planet, but they already drafted a quarterback with the third overall pick. So what should I be looking for from Joe Milton this summer?
The biggest arm you've seen since Rohan Davey. That's what I would say.
I played with him.
I remember one year in camp when we had him, and he threw a ball in a team period. He rolled one or two directions and threw back across the field. And I remember the coaching, it went like 84 yards in the air. It was one of the most unbelievable throws I've ever seen in my life. But Joe's the same way. Joe had a throw at the Manning camp last summer when I was there during a skills competition, and he got it out there like 84, 85 yards without even straining. So this guy's got elite arm, arm strength. And, he's been around a lot. This guy's been around good people at Michigan. He was, kind of learned under Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. So he's been around good coaches. He's been around other good players. Is there still some like developmental qualities to him? Sure. Because you look at the amount of starts, he hasn't had a huge amount of starts. So yeah, he's a little developmental and they can be patient with him because they just took Drake May. So, if you take a guy where they took Joe, and in 2 years, you've got a number two quarterback you feel good about, that's a heck of a draft pick, or even 3 years from now. If he's year three for the next couple of years, and then in year three, he's a legit number two you feel like you can win games with if Drake goes down, that's a really good day three pick.
Yeah, for me, Jim, I always hated the guys with who were the super strong arm, because sometimes I felt like they only had one speed. Whether I was 5 yards away or 10 yards away, I felt like the ball was coming. Like, now it's the way Rohan was. Davey was... I mean, God forbid you're doing a bootleg or a naked, because they wouldn't do them with Brady, but Rohan was it. They let Rohan do the bootlegs. I was like, uh-oh, here it comes, low and away, fast and away. And it was on a rope, just like a curveball hitting the dirt.
Yeah, that's all those young guys struggle with that. I remember a buddy of mine, Jeff Thomason, who played in the league when you were a Christian. And he went he was in Green Bay with me, my first job in the league. And then he goes to Philly, and they draft Donovan McNabb. I remember having that conversation. I'm like, "How's Donovan?" He's like, "Man, he's going to be good, but he's got to learn a changeup, man. He is killing me on these shallow crossers."
Take a little bit off when I'm closer. I know, a lot of people don't like. I know the other guy you had was Laydon Robinson, guard, fourth round pick, and I know nobody really likes to talk about offensive linemen, but. Is that a guy that is a developmental guy taken in the fourth round? You think maybe he's got a chance to play, contribute a little bit?
He's got a chance to play. I think he'll push for a starting job right away. We got on Laydon a couple years ago. He was a junior. We only could start bringing juniors this year. Up until this year, we could bring them if they graduate. And he was going to graduate a couple years ago. So we looked at him. We went down the road. At the last minute, he kind of decided to stay in school. He had a really good 2021 year, kind of a down 2022, and then played better this year. And he was honestly, guys, like, I try to pump the guys up that have a really good week in Mobile, and they're just, I run out of days and minutes in the day trying to run a business and promote these players. But Laydon had an unbelievable week in Mobile after I went back and looked at the tape. What you'll find is he plays really stout and square. It's hard to power through these guys' edges. This guy's edges, and he's got really strong hands. He's one of those guys who will grip you out when he gets his hands on you. So, he's probably a guard only, right? And the reason it tells me that I think the Patriots probably see him as a starter is that I don't think he can play center, and I don't think he can play tackle, and you're certainly not in the business of drafting one position backup offensive lineman. Just from like a role perspective, if you just saw Laydon Robinson as a backup, you probably wouldn't have drafted him in the fourth round. You maybe drafted him in the seventh. So just, conceptually of the player, that kind of tells me where their mindset was. I'm guessing they see him as a guy that can come in and at least push for a starting job this year or be a starter next year.
Jim, obviously football's a world where you don't have to be a top 10 pick at receiver to be an impact young player. We've seen just boatloads of guys come in as second, third, fifth round picks, Puka Nacua, and have instant impacts. Do you see either Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or both of them as potential impact offensive weapons for a team that obviously has struggled to fill out the receiver depth chart in recent years?
On that team, yes. Yeah, I think they're going to have roles. I would certainly think so with looking at the depth chart, what it was pre-draft. I like Polk a lot. He's a really good player. We reached out to him after the national championship game. We lost a couple of Washington and Michigan guys because they played so late this year, but Polk was a guy I really liked, and I'll share this too. When I went to the combine, I was timing 40s around where all the teams time the 40s. I was kind of across the aisle from a bunch of buddies. And when Polk came up to run, there was a lot of chatter just with it, and there's probably four or five teams right there where we were sitting, and there was a lot of chatter about how much everyone liked Oak, and no one wanted him to run fast because they wanted him to, they wanted to get him at a discount, but they all really liked the football player. They could care less what he ran in the 40. That's kind of what their mindset was. Like, I don't care how fast this guy runs. I'd rather he runs slow so we can get him. But he was I would put it this way, he was a more popular guy in the league than he probably was in the media.
Interesting. Jim Nagy, last one real quick, because I know you got to go, because I just saw this tweet that you had yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It says, for all non-casuals, 2025 draft coverage starts today, no days off. And then you list 16 quarterbacks that I guess you're kind of paying attention to, and one of the guys on that we were talking about was Shedeur Sanders. Out of that group, is there a guy that you think has the greatest upside, or is it just too early, Jim?
Well, shoot, man, we've seen a lot. We've looked at a lot more. We've graded more than that. They just wouldn't fit in the picture.
Yeah.
I'm not in the office right now. I'm actually still up in Michigan. I was up here for the draft, and I'm visiting my parents right now. This is my home state. But yeah, our guy, our DFO in the office took that picture, and there was too many. It wouldn't fit. I'm like, you got to take some names off. So we've dug in on those guys. It's going to be a fun group. Really, the only guy that I've done a lot of work on was Carson Beck from Georgia. Had he come out this year, we would have invited him to the Senior Bowl. Probably would have been a day two pick had he come out this year, second, third round, I would guess. And then I saw him in the spring game over at Georgia a couple weeks ago, and he was impressive. He was impressive. He's going to have a good year. So it's going to be Shedeur. It's going to be Beck. Quinn Ewers at Texas, I would guess. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, maybe. And there's always, a guy or two look what Jaden Daniels has done over the last couple of years, rising up. Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones. I mean, there's always guys that kind of, come alive late in their careers. That's going to happen with a couple of those guys.
Jim, can you answer real quick before you let you go here? A philosophical question Christian and I had yesterday from a team or scouting perspective. When you host one of these elite prospects to a dinner on their visit to the facility, is it okay if they order a beer or an alcoholic beverage with dinner?
Ooh. That's totally based on the GM. I will say that. I won't name names, but I know some of my buddies would not give a rip, and there's other ones that might look sideways at them. But I think it just depends on the decision maker.
So probably safe not to do it.
Safer not to do it
because there's an unknown.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, if I was an agent and I was advising a player, I would probably advise against that. We actually, one of the teams I worked for, we brought a guy in a 30 visit, and he came down for dinner. He ordered basically the entire menu, and I was like, something's going on here. And then he was late to show up for the shuttle that brought him over to the facility the next day. And we went over, we sent scouting assistants over there to pick him up 3 different times, finally got him. They went up to his room. There's weed all over his room. Oh. So you definitely don't smoke weed on your visit. Don't do that.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You need to write a book, Jim. That's what's next, man. Just change all the names to protect the innocent. And those are the stories I want to hear. Like the scout that's working the beat and going to these schools and hosting these players, like when you open their door, what do you see? And are you a little apprehensive to open the door? Great stuff, Jim.
Yeah, that was an all-timer.
All right, Jim. Well, listen, thanks, Jim. Enjoy your family. Enjoy Michigan. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks again, man. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys.
All right, so that's Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Man, no beer with dinner.
No beer, like I tell you. Interesting stuff from him. He really knows about all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned Drake May. So Jones and Mego did talk to Drake May yesterday. They got the official first interview of Drake May. Lucky them. Well, I love the deck.
Who'd you get?
We got nobody. Oh. We got absolutely nobody. That's okay. There's 3 things that he mentioned that I want to play for you when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Grish and Fourier on WEEI.
So my wife comes to me this morning and says, oh, I got a great song for the summer. I got a great summer song. I said, all right, let me hear it. Here it is. Zach Bryan, Fear and Fridays. Oh, this needs to be our summer anthem. She said, hey, this should be your summer anthem. I'm curious to know your thoughts on my suggestion for the Gresh and Fourier summer song.
So far, I don't hear it.
It's country. It's an automatic veto from back here, by the way.
It gets better.
Nope.
Come on, Billy.
See you later.
You know this guy is as popular as anybody on the planet right now.
Turn it up. Let's go.
I don't want to.
Hey. Oh, you know what? People love beer. It's Fridays. Let's sing about it. Yeah.
Is he riding a tractor?
Country 2024.
I don't think he's that kind of country.
After his ex-wife.
He's big with like the teenagers.
Let me sing twangy about things people love. Remember The Weeknd? How great are The Weeknd's?
I think he's almost more. Why do people hate country music?
Those guys hate country music. You know what? They probably hate modern country music because it's. But I bet if
Alan Jackson
because it's bad rock and roll.
I like Alan Jackson
because it's bad rock and roll. How about like
George
old
Strait.
School country, like
George
Waylon
Jones?
Jennings,
Done.
George yeah. Jones. In
Perfect.
Okay,
Johnny Cash.
I even go like 80s with like George Strait, Alan Jackson.
Absolutely.
George Strait, he's the best.
So you hate the fact that these modern country guys
are garbage.
Morgan Wallen, garbage?
Wouldn't know him if I tripped over him. Garbage.
He is arguably the most popular singer on the planet.
Wow, he's popular.
And he's a racist drunk who throws chairs off buildings.
Oh, is that the same guy?
It's the guy with all the felonies.
Oh, he's popular. I gotta love
him. Oh, look at me. I'm a rebel.
That's the opposite of me. Because I don't even really like Zach Bryan. He has a couple songs I like, but I was stunned. He sold out Gillette for 2 shows, and I'm like, Zach Bryan, 130,000 people.
Is this the Somewhere in the Orange guy? Is it the same guy?
I don't know. I don't really know any of his
only
songs.
Only country song that I know. That's
all
not
I know. It was
old.
It was a suggestion from the missus.
It's good.
Hey, this is pretty good stuff. Hey, this should be our anthem. I was like, oh, let me check it out. You know,
the first time you listen to your wife is this.
That's a good line right there.
I didn't think it was bad.
There's nothing for you to say. He just kicked
Billy's,
your ass.
Billy's problem is once he kind of knows like the genre of the artist, he taps out.
Which I think is weird.
He just taps out.
Because I don't care about the genre.
He's not even open-minded
about
everything
else, so God forbid I don't like country music.
But what is country? Beyonce is country.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't even know what country is anymore.
It's a cheap way to sell records.
I just say, do I like that? Do I not like that?
You attack an audience. An audience that doesn't know country music, an audience that doesn't know rock and roll, you put it together, that's what you get.
So you're calling people who like country dumb?
Sure.
Hold on. Before you get to that,
I'm not going to throw myself under that bus. I'm an idiot.
We got to give away some tickets, right?
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer Tuesday.
All right. Be caller 9 now to the contest line at 617-931-0937. That's 617-931-0937, and you'll score a pair of tickets for the Red Sox game this Thursday against the Giants. Do that right now. We'll give away tickets again at, 12:30 and 1:30. Line them up. All right, so
Zach Bryan just bought a house in Duxbury, according to the text line. So he could be listening, right? Hey, Zach, how are you?
I'm the idiot for not listening.
Hey, Zach, call in.
Local guy, move to Beantown.
He's one of us.
Take a hike.
He's one of us now. I don't know what Christian just did. He decided he was
taking... The chair was blocking his view of me.
Taking a lap or something?
Did somebody put a chair there?
No, I couldn't see him.
Oh.
Well, there have been 85 people in there today.
Oh, was there? I couldn't tell. There's a lot of food in here still left. All right, so Jones and Mego had Drake May on.
Yes.
Lucky for them. Look at them getting a circle gets a square.
The
Look at
QB them getting, of getting the future.
The first ever interview, other than the fact that Gresh and I interviewed him Thursday night last week. But that's okay.
Are we measuring something here?
Yeah, we are absolutely trying to get a little bit of love. All right, so Nick, I think we pulled the, which I thought were the three best questions and answers. And what's the first one that we're going to listen to, Nick?
Well, it's what everybody wants to know. Can he start day one?
I think that's obviously the goal, for myself and any rookie quarterback coming to the NFL. But also, I think it's great opportunity for getting there and learn from Jacoby, learn from the older guys, the other vets around there, and just put my best foot forward. I think for me, just want to earn the respect of the guys and get to know them first. But obviously, all the stuff on the field will come after that. So looking forward to help the Patriots anyway. Obviously, it's the goal, but ready for anything that happens. And I think one of the best things about it'll be a 21-year-old coming in there is, get ready to learn and to soak it all in. And, if I'm the best guy, I think Coach Mayo's kind of said that. He said that publicly, if the best guy's going to play. So if it happens to me, I'm ready to go. And if it's not, I'm going to prepare like it and compete and learn as much as I can from the other guys to get ready to do that.
I guess, okay, so if you're a coach, what's your philosophy on if you're a head coach of NFL, you're Alex Van Pelt, you're responsible for mentoring, developing this young quarterback. You don't want to screw it up because the last guy really got screwed up.
What kind of?
So are you a little bit more, careful and slow playing it more than normal?
So in my mind, I'm hoping he starts. Like, I'm going in with the hope he starts, but he has to earn it. He has to show he's not a train wreck. He is mature. As I said yesterday, your thing, he needs to end the play call in the huddle with a statement, not a question mark. He needs to be authoritative. He needs to not act like, whoa, there's veterans around me and who. No.
I had you on my wall when I was 12.
Well, guess what? You're now the franchise QB.
Yeah.
You need to kick the Christian Fourier in the butt. Whether that's Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper or one of these veteran tight ends, they're not vets. They're your tight end. You need your coworkers, right? You're the quarterback. Everybody looks to you in that huddle for leadership. But if he gets that down and you get into some scrimmage time and joint practices and then you get in a preseason field and you're like, is he raw? Sure. But he looks ready. He can compete. Then to me, it's a waste of time. I hear this idea, a month, September. Why? What's a month going to do? Like 1 month of watching Jacoby Brissett is going to be the difference? If he's close enough to start October 1st, then I think I'm pretty, unless it's bad, I'm saying he's ready to start September 1st, right? He has to prove to me he's not ready, I guess, is what I would
say. There are some situations where Caleb Williams, going to start week one, doesn't matter,
right.
He's starting. Jaden Daniels, going to start week one, doesn't matter. Bo Nix, is he going to start? Jared Stidham is another guy that they have on the roster. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's
Zach
a contest.
Wilson.
Zach Wilson is another guy. If you can't beat Zach Wilson out, then you got a problem. And Drake May really should start. He should start. But if he – and I don't think it's like there doesn't need to be some rush to throw him in there. Because for every, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, there's another quarterback that played too early because there wasn't enough protection, because he wasn't mentally and physically ready. Now, he may say all the right things, but that job is so difficult to do it's just so hard to be good at it early.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some, you know, getting used to the job, making mistakes. And the other thing is like, hey, can you run an offense without really asking the quarterback to win the game for you? Do you have enough support where he just has to do enough and he's not tasked with literally winning the game?
Well, I think the plan is to be that. I mean, Alex Van Pelt has talked about running the ball and Ramondre Stevenson and their zone runs and all of that. Now, can you execute that with your defense? Can that kind of come together and work where you, okay, now every once in a while I need you to run that boot and hit the tight end and we need that play. Like, that's our got to have it play for that drive to keep it going. But I just think if a guy is good, I always have this question. Who was broken that you think should have been good? You know what I mean? Like Josh Allen he didn't start week one.
Yep.
He started week two. And he was as raw as they come out of Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
You didn't see it. You had questions about his
I was all ripping of that. Him, yes.
And he never looked back. I wasn't saying it was all perfect, but he got in the week two. He took over, and because he's Josh Allen, mentally, physically, toughness, whatever, competitive nature, same thing with Justin Herbert. Remember? Week one, didn't start. Week two, they stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the lung with a thing, and he had to start. Justin Herbert never looked back.
That's right. Forgot all about that.
I kind of believe if you have whatever it takes, you can't be thrown out there too soon. You'll figure it out. You'll find a way to make it work and figure it out.
Okay. All right. So that's he wants to start. Let's not get it confused.
He all right, should.
What's the next one, Nick?
Well, you found this one interesting. The Patriots apparently keyed him in, though, on what they were doing on day two and day three of the draft.
Yeah, they were they were kind of keying me in on they were thinking before they selected him. So I think, as a rookie quarterback, you don't expect to have much say. So, I think, obviously, all the players selected, he's laid in, and Juke, and I think, all those guys, watching their film, check out their tape. After you draft them, you always want to go check out their tape. Just their great picks. I reached out to both of them. So just try to reach out to everybody and obviously played against myself from South Carolina. So, I got to know a lot of these guys, like you said. So, they get paid a lot of money and as GM and, long time doing this stuff. I think, way in my opinion, wouldn't mean much. So, I think just trusting them and ready to get to work with anybody.
Okay, so here's what stood out to me. That they draft him on Thursday, third pick overall. Friday comes along. And they're checking in on him, checking in on Drake May as he's on a flight coming to take pictures, right, with his brothers and his girlfriend since seventh grade, telling him what they're going to do. I don't know why that is so, crazy, because he doesn't have a clue what he needs or what he wants. Absolutely zero. So this whole idea that I'm going to include some 21-year-old rookie who's never played in the NFL, 2 years in college, not even a full, career in college, I'm going to start asking his opinion?
Mm.
Do you feel like this is like, seriously, is this just the way it is now?
Oh, yeah.
Should I just literally get used to it? Because if I'm a coach, the last thing I'm going to give a crap about is whether or not my quarterback, who I just drafted, whether or not he likes, Baker or Polk.
Wait, did he say they asked him or they kept him informed? I think my take of that, I think he was here. I think the timeline, he was already here. He did like a 1 o'clock photo op and then the draft was Friday night. And I think they probably said, hey, we're going to go get you a weapon. Right?
They were, they were kind of keying me in on they were thinking before they selected him. So,
yeah, okay, keying you in. Broad. He didn't ask you which receiver you want in the second round.
What does keying you in mean?
We're getting you a weapon.
Keying you in, is that a good old boy Southern term that means something that it shouldn't mean?
I don't know what you mean.
I'm keying you in on this now, boy. Don't tell anybody.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they were just telling him, we're getting you a receiver. You're going to be happy.
Mm. If he did have input, they would have taken Tez Walker over Jabron Baker.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know that. Maybe he hates Tez Walker.
If they were asking him who he wanted, he went and played with him.
He knows Baker. He knows Baker from...
But we're taking Jabron Baker. Too bad.
Yeah, but I just think it was like... And this is modern football. Bill said it right, like it's always kind of been football. When Brady left, every decision made over the last 20 years was for Tom and put Tom in the best position. And now that's going to be Mac, he said at the time, which that didn't work out very well. And he didn't live up to his word because he gave him a defensive coordinator as an offensive coordinator. But that's football. You pick a quarterback who you have to hitch your organizational wagon to, and then you need to support him, right? Like the Ravens are the example that everybody uses. They took Lamar Jackson, and they went all in on, we're building a team tight ends, running game around Lamar Jackson. You have to do that. If you believe in Drake May, and this has been, I know Phil Perry's been big on this, they drafted receivers that work well with what Drake May does well. Isn't that smart? Isn't that what you should do?
Kind of important. I like that. I like the way they think.
Yeah. So will it work? I have no idea. He may stink. The receivers may stink. Who knows? But you want it all to seemingly fit together theoretically.
Yeah. So let's do one more. What's the last one we have, Nick? We'll do one more before we get the parlay going.
Well, you've been talking about his Duke boy brothers for a while.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, I like this one. This is a great story.
And it's a great good story about all four boys growing up.
Yeah, I got an example. My brother Bo. It was during football season in high school. He was a senior. I was a junior. And we were playing two-on-two basketball in the driveway one weekend, probably after one of my games on a Friday night. And we were playing basketball. And Bo, he got knocked down, to say the least, by my oldest brother, Luke, and ended up breaking both his elbows at the same time. But only had to wear a sling on one of them. So he was a senior. Senior in high school, and had to navigate that. So I think after that, that was kind of the last straw of physicality things. From there, now we keep it in pickleball and golf. But my brother Bo took a bad fall, and I just thank the Lord it wasn't me during football season.
Yeah, that story cracks me up because it does remind me of the Gronks.
Yep,
the Chandler, like Chandler Jones. Like mm-hmm. his family growing up, he used to tell stories about the fights and the battles that they would have in the basement. The Gronks, the same thing. Somebody getting hit with a hockey stick. And all those guys, that whole like life is just tailor-made to just being able to deal with any set of circumstance. And this is what I asked him on Thursday when I met with him.
Brag.
It's like, well, we got to brag about something. there's like, it was your ability to kind of deal with your brothers kind of prepare you for dealing with anything. Living in the shadows of your brothers is not a big deal like living in the shadow of Brady. Like he's not going to be affected by Brady's shadow. So I don't think he will.
His brothers were Brady? I mean, I think there's – I get what your point is, but
– he's the youngest of four boys. They were all studs. National championship in baseball at Florida, basketball at North Carolina, both of them playing overseas. Sure. Like you're living up to them. You're chasing after them. If you can't run fast, you're going to be left behind. Those are his words. It's them Duke boys.
You hear this over the years that, like, these guys, you competed for the last drop of milk or competed for the last roll at dinner because there were always some.
You're eating faster so you can get more.
I like that. I like that competitive nature that you don't even know you're competing when you're actually competing for everything in life. The best hand-me-downs, the best socks.
It's amazing. He's the runt of the litter.
Yeah.
And here he is, a third pick in the draft.
But he's a pretty good-looking runt at 6'4", 225, with a strong arm.
Okay, so how do we do on the parlay? Let me see here. Oh!
Ugh.
Oh, I had a good day. Ugh. We'll get the parlay results and give you more picks when we come back.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Gresh and Poirier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
All right, so lunchtime parlay. Don't forget Tom E. Curran, straight up and straight down at 12 o'clock. He'll join us again. Haven't talked to him since the draft. But real quickly, we went 2-2, 2-for-2 yesterday. I won. Of course I did. Nick wins again. How many is that in a row? What's it like your streak? Oh, like, is that only one?
I think you I win every week.
Oh, did you really? Oh, man. Billy had the Twins. Andy, you had the Jaylen Brown over 21.5. You lost.
Nope.
All right, that's fine. We missed out on $177.67. So let's start with Billy today. Billy, hello.
What's up?
Listen to any good country music since we last played some Zach Bryan?
Yeah, no, I was in here on Spotify just really crushing it. Really?
Really?
Develop a love for it.
So
I love how you love George Jones. Everybody loves George Jones.
It's just like the stuff my old man listened to and my brother listened to. And then like I listen to what it is now. I'm like, it's just not the same.
HBO did a...
I like my country, I think, depressing.
I think it should be depressing.
I think that's kind of what it is.
There is a
documentary... I hate
documentary.
The cliche of like, oh, play it backwards and your dog comes back. Like, that's the stupidest joke in the world.
No, George Jones, they did
but
like
I admit, like I grew up with what my dad listened to and what my older brother listened to, so I'm ignorant to the newest stuff.
When you see like a story about George Jones, this whole like miniseries on him and his life, and every song he wrote was literally about how effed up his life was.
So depressing.
It was just.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
That's My Job by George Jones is the single most depressing song in the history of music.
Is that the one taking care of the kid? Like, that's My Job?
It makes you want to call your father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
For being a terrible kid.
That's a good song.
Conway Twitty did a remake of that one.
And that's the one I've heard.
Okay, so maybe that's what I was thinking. I got my George Jones. Oh, no, yeah. Sorry. It was Conway Twitty.
No, and the other one is I Said I'd Love You Till I Die. It's like this all this.
What is it?
This is his wife.
The wreath upon the door.
Yeah, it's all these metaphors and hidden meanings. Yeah, because he died.
He stopped loving her today.
He's in a casket.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Depressed.
See, you do like country music.
No, I'm not.
He likes old country music.
I like the older stuff because that's what I was raised on, and just I hear the newest stuff, and it just doesn't scratch that itch for me anymore.
So how about today? Anywho, what scratches an itch for you today?
What scratches an itch for me are the Padres hosting the Cincinnati Reds. You, Darvish, on the mound for the Padres. Give me the Padres to cover 1.5 at home against the Reds.
Okay. How about Nick? How about you? How about Moneybags? How about pick him all the time, Nick?
I'm going hockey. The Avalanche and Jets series, they've scored like a million goals. And the over-under is set at 6.5 today. Connor Hellebuck has not been good the last few days. He's led him 5 and 6 goals. So give me the over of 6.5 today in Jets and Avalanche.
All right, this is what happens when you have a guest. He completely screws up your parlay or your opportunity to win. Andy, please let us know who you're picking today.
2-2 means two people lost, so you wouldn't have won.
You're
either way.
You're 2-5, by the way. There's a two
I'm
going
to literally and figuratively swing for the fences. I like to bounce back big. The most interesting, exciting power hitter on your Boston Red Sox is Tyler O'Neill. As Rob Bradford would tell you, he has like 0% body fat. He's jacked.
He is so jacked.
He wants to be in the home run derby. Did you see that?
And he should do it sleeveless.
Yes, absolutely. Sleeveless, old school, I got big muscles, home run derby. He's going to hit a home run today. He's got a home run in 2 of the last 3 games, so I feel like I'm going to ride a little hot streak here. Not
just
last
do it
game,
with your shirt off.
I don't think they
allow
that.
He can go shirtless. Like, it's the stupid
what are these,
All-Star
games.
The
bananas, the Savannah Bananas. We're going up shirtless now.
You know what they should get? They should get the guy from the Savannah Bananas who hits when he's on stilts.
Yeah.
That guy.
So you're coming up with ways to make baseball more interesting.
Well, I just feel like there's a lot of people would appreciate, you know, Tyler O'Neill with his shirt off.
Also, some that would think you're making a mockery of the game. I am just going simply with a traditional home run, Tyler O'Neill. And I believe, Nick, that's like plus 5-something?
750.
Yeah. 750? Oh, I'm carrying you guys today when I win this.
See, this is the part that I like. If we hit this, I could do the most random bets known to man because it's house money. I don't care if we lose. All right, I'm going Dante DiVincenzo. Dante DiVincenzo.
There you go.
Jalen Brunson went nuts. 47 points the last time he played against Philly. Eventually, they're going to somebody else is going to have to, like, you know, they're going to try to stop Jalen Brunson, right?
You think?
Like, wouldn't that be hey, let's not let him score 50 points.
Yeah.
Let the other guys, let's double team him.
The Belichick
blitz
way.
Him.
Take away the best and make
let
the others
the other
beat
guys.
You.
So here's the problem is he's only averaging 10 points over the last 4 games. So it's not like he's lighting up. He had one game where he had 19 points. Other than that, though, I mean, it's under 10 points, 8 points, 9 points. Nothing real crazy. I'm assuming, though.
No, it's not due. That's not any of this work.
Yes, it is. He is 100% due. This is going to be proof that he's due works.
Okay.
The line is at 12.5.
Okay.
I'm going with over 12.5.
He's due.
He's due because he has to.
They're gonna... We haven't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
All right, so Tyler O'Neill to hit a home run. Reds at Padres for Billy. Well, you got the Avalanche, right? Over 6.5
yep,
goals?
Just the Avalanche. You're going to score 7 goals.
Okay, just the Avalanche. Okay, holy cow. And then I got Dante, the Italian guy. So that's $10. That's, oh, Jesus, $735
Woo!
If we win.
Let's go.
$735.
You guys better not screw it up for me. Because I'll be fine.
That'll be amazing. All right, so that's the parlay. Tom E. Curran. Make sure you put the E in there. He gets very upset if he realizes that the E is not in his name. Because there's so many other Tom Currans that I run into. I always get him confused.
You ever met another?
Have you met another Tom Curran?
How much of the confusion comes from Nesson's Tom Curran?
You
think?
Yeah, throw the initial in there, Karen, Curran. Huh. Might be just a little thing like
it's
that.
Much worse for me. There's an Adam Hart at NBC Sports Boston that people send me emails, texts.
Really?
Like all the time. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Are they positive or negative?
You should bring them in. If they're negative, we definitely want to hear
you.
Even
I was on Adam Hart about Andy Hart.
Yeah. They call me on air. They call me Adam Hart. They've done it on air, like live TV. Adam Hart. Oh, sorry. He works here.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. I understood exactly what you were saying. Tom E. Curran coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.